Morning.
Good morning.
Okay. There? Good? Okay. Today we're learning the fifth perek, perek hey, of the Gvuras Hashem. And the goals of this perek, it seems in the Maral, are sort of, I would guess we could say twofold. On the one hand, perhaps the broad picture which the Maral is going to be doing over here is he is trying to extend what we spoke about in the past, last week, and before that to a lesser degree, about what Yitzias Mitzrayim looked like, what Yitzias Mitzrayim was like, which was what we saw over the past couple of weeks, was how extracting the Jewish people from Mitzrayim was a tremendous study of contrasts. How the Mitzrim stood as being polar opposites of the Jewish people. How Mitzrayim was completely Chomer, matter, physicality, where Yisrael is supposed to be tzura, form, substance, the form, you know, direction, structure. Mitzrayim are shtufei zima, Mitzrayim are completely awash in immorality, while the Yisrael is brismila, gedurim bo'arayas, are very careful about such matters. This sort of study and contrast between Mitzrayim and the Jewish people. And what he's going to be coming to really explain here is to see how this same type of a contrast exists earlier than that between Avram Avinu and his place where he came from. Avram Avinu and his origins from Ur Kasdim. So that's one sort of outline of what he's going to be accomplishing, what he's going to be doing here in the Perek. And a second piece, which is really it's part of it, is trying to explain with a little more depth why it has to be this kind of a study in contrast. Why, when you find the origins of the people, why does it come through such a contrasting experience between, you know, Yisrael and Mitzrayim, Avram Avinu and Ur Kasdim? So let's start with the first goal, and with an incredibly important little pasuk, if we can say such a thing, that you have when you have the description of the beginnings of Avram Avinu. And it's not a pasuk which is found in the beginning, in the very beginning of the story of Avram Avinu, but it's found actually right at Shishi in Parshas Lech Lecha. It's the midst of the Bris Bein Absarim of the covenant which Hashem is making, or the story around the covenant which Hashem is making with Avram Avinu. And Hashem comes to Avram and he says to him, Ani Hashem, okay, listen to these words, Ani Hashem asher hotzei sticha me'ur kazdim. I am Hashem who took you out from Ur Kasdim. Right? And he goes on and he says, Loseis lecha, to give you as ha'oretz hazois l'rishta, to give you this land as your inheritance. So what's so striking about this? Because we're all familiar with the language of the opening commandment of the Aseres HaDibros, which is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoytzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Mitzrayim. And here, while there are certainly differences, one says Anoichi, one says Ani, one says Hashem, one says Hashem Elokecha, right? But and one of course says Ur Kasdim and one says Eretz Mitzrayim. However, the structure of the expression is very strong. And especially when you consider that this is the bris which Hashem is making with Avram Avinu. And Matan Torah is the bris, the covenant which Hashem is making with the Bnei Yisrael. And in both cases, he refers in such a similar way and saying, I'm the one who took you out of whatever the particular previous matzav, the particular previous situation was. This is not just a simple nuance in language that we say, wow, that's cool, and that the Maral will say, oh, look, let's try and draw the comparisons between these two things. Right, the Ramban notes it himself in the end of Parshas Noach, where he speaks about this idea of Ani Hashem. He's medayek. In fact, he derives from the fact that the Pasuk expresses it this way, that Hashem says, I am Hashem who took you out of, that we can learn from the same way that we find by Anoichi Hashem Alekecha Asher Yitzeichom Eretz Mitzrayim. How did Hashem take us out of Eretz Mitzrayim? How did he take us out? Well, he said, you know, here, let me swipe my easy pass so you'll be able to get through. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That means you were there and required miraculous things to take you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. It wasn't easy or simple to come out of Eretz Mitzrayim, but I took you out of there with an overwhelming hand of Hashem. So he says, Ur Kasdim is sort of like a hidden story. What happened in Ur Kasdim? Right? So we know the story which Chazal tell us, which Rashi himself cites in Chumash, back there at the end of Parshas Noach. And he says that Avram Avinu, his father, had informed upon him to the government, to Nimrod, because Avram Avinu was doing this monotheism thing and Nimrod was promoting something very different, and Terach gave Avram Avinu over for what he was doing, and Nimrod, you know, after giving Avram Avinu an ultimatum, threw him into a fiery furnace, and Hashem spared him from that fiery furnace. So there was a miracle which occurred, but the Pasuk doesn't say it. The Pasuk doesn't tell the story. It just says that Avram Avinu left Ur Kasdim. Says the Ramban, when it says, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Ur Kasdim, using the same kind of language as Yitzias Mitzrayim, that has the connotation that just like when we left Mitzrayim, it required Hashem to extract us in miraculous form, so too when Hashem took Avram Avinu out of Ur Kasdim, it was the same thing. And of course, the language which the Pasuk uses for Eretz Mitzrayim, the metaphor which is used, which is from the Kur HaBarzel Mimitzrayim, right, from the iron furnace, right, that would itself, in a certain sense, that, you know, there's your parallel, right, the fiery furnace. Right, that's what Avram Avinu was taken out of in Ur Kasdim. That extends it a little bit more. So there's this parallel. There's this parallel which we have between Yitzias Mitzrayim that the Pasuk describes in Yitzias Ur Kasdim. What occurred to the Jewish people as a whole occurred to Avram Avinu himself originally. Now, again, a little note. Maral doesn't speak about this, but it's something which is just, it's obvious and important to note in the framework. You know, we have three regalim, we have three Yamim Tovim, three major festivals of the year. And the three is a magic number. We have three Avos, we have three patriarchs. And in early sources, a parallel is drawn between the three Avos and the three regalim. You find already, I mean, the Tur brings it in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, and he says that the Yom Tov of Pesach corresponds to Avraham, because we know that Avram Avinu was the first one to celebrate Pesach, because when he welcomed the guests in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we say that he was Pesach, he was offering them Korban Pesach, Korban Chagiga, whatever it was. And Yitzchak is associated with Shavuos, because Shavuos is the Yom Tov of the giving of the Torah, and the giving of the Torah, the shofar was sounded, the yovel was sounded, and that, Chazal tell us, was the shofar of the ram's horn of Yitzchak, who was offered on Har HaMoriah, which has its own relationships to Har Sinai. And Yaakov Avinu, in the Torah it says, Yaakov Avinu came to a place called Sukkos, and he made for his cattle Sukkos, so that associates Yaakov Avinu with Sukkos. So of course, each one of these comparisons requires explanation. But the easiest one is Avram Avinu and Pesach, not just because he happened, quote-unquote, to host guests on Pesach, but because Avram Avinu was the beginning of the Jewish people, micro, as Yitzias Mitzrayim was the greater beginning of the Jewish people. And we find many parallels. For example, Bris. Avram Avinu had the Bris Mila established with him. And then what do we have as the second layer on the Bris Mila is the Korban Pesach. Right? There are two positive commandments in the entire Torah for which failure to fulfill them brings a person a punishment, and specifically the punishment called kores. Usually, failure to fulfill a positive commandment doesn't bring any punishment. It might bring sanctions to get you to do it, but it doesn't bring a punishment. And certainly it doesn't bring a punishment of kores, that we would say that the person is somehow, you know, pulled out, cut out from their people. There are only two mitzvahs which have that. Pesach, Korban Pesach, a person willfully doesn't bring it, and Bris Milah. Right? Not on the father, but on the person himself. If as he grows up, he doesn't correct and make a Bris Milah when he didn't have one before, the person is going to be Chayav Kores. Why is it? Because these are two mitzvahs of Bris. They establish the relationship between Klal Yisrael, between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could a person be part of the Jewish people if they're actually spurning the bond, the thing which is the expression of it? Pesach and Milah, one built upon another. Avram Avinu, the Yom Tov of Pesach. There are other parallels. What was the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach required the Jewish people to go and shecht the lambs, which were the idols of the Egyptians, and do that as a way of beginning the connection to Hashem Yisborach. Well, we know that Avraham Avinu had to go through the same thing. He had to smash the idols of his father's house, of where he was, and go and create a relationship with Hashem. There are other things, but it's not for now. But therefore, when we find this kind of a parallel, I am Hashem who took you out of, fill in the blank, Ur Kasdim, Eretz Mitzrayim, with Avraham Avinu, with the Yitzhak Mitzrayim of Pesach, finding this parallel sort of fits the general structure of the Yom Tov and what it's all about. So we have this. But what is it? What is it, or what is Ur Kasdim versus Avraham Avinu, whereas Mitzrayim versus the Jewish people? Mitzrayim versus the Jewish people we've been discussing over the past couple of prakim. And specifically, again, we focus on this idea that Mitzrayim is chaymer, is physicality, and Yisrael is tzura, is form, matter versus form. Mitzrayim are enmeshed in zima, whereas the Jewish people are gedurim b'arayos, are more, very moral in this realm. But where is the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Ur Kasdim? I mean, you know, they were idol worshippers, and he was not. Right, but where is the fuller contrast between those two opposing entities? And says the Maharal, very beautiful thing, very, very nice thing. He says that the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara says as follows. Arba mischar alein HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebara. There are four things that Hashem, so to speak, regrets ever having made them. Ve'elu hein, and these are they: Golus, Kasdim, v'Yishma'elim, v'Yetzer Hora. Golus, the Kasdim, v'Yishma'elim, and the Yetzer Hora. Golus d'chsiv, and it brings a pasuk. Kasdim d'chsiv, hein eretz Kasdim, ze ha'am loy haya. Behold, the land of the Kasdim. This am, this is the people that loy haya, that was not. Right, so what does it mean, Zeha am loy haya? Right, so Rashi says, one second, let me find it. Rashi says, loy haya, einai kedai v'alavai loy haya. It ain't worth it, right? It's not worthy, and I wish that they didn't exist. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the Kasdim. Yishma'elim, the Gemara brings also a pasuk to indicate a similar thing. So, but by the Kasdim, who were where Avraham Avinu came from, he says, I wish they never were. Now that stands as a tremendous contrast to Avraham, because Avraham is not just the one that Hashem is happy that he is. It's not like he regrets being creating Avram, but the opposite. If the Kasdim are the ones that from the whole world Hashem says, we don't need them, Avraham Avinu is the one from the whole world. Hashem says specifically, I do need them. And we just finished davening Shachris. What do we bring in Shachris? We bring the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, Ato Hashem Aladecha, you Hashem alone, you created the Shamayim, Shmei Hashamayim, the heavens, the uppermost heavens, the earth, and all of its contents. Right? Everything. You are Hashem who chose Avraham, and you made his name into Avraham, and you found his heart name on the Fanecha. Right? So the Medrash says, what's the idea? The idea is that from the entire world, you chose Avraham. Because Avraham Avinu became the focal point, the purpose of creation, that around which all of creation revolves. As Rashi brings in Chumash, the Gemara, that says, Eila told us Hashemayim v'aretz bihi baram. This is the happenings of heaven's earth bihi baram. Mix up those letters and what do you get? The Avraham. That the whole heaven and earth is created for Avraham. That's what it means when it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that there were 10 generations till Noach, from Noach till Avram, and then Avraham Avinu came and took the reward of them all. What does that mean? So again, one reading of the Mishnah is that whereas when Noach, the 10 generations till Noach, Hashem washed away the rest of the world and only Noach was salvaged, in the case of Avram, Hashem didn't wash away the rest of the world and only salvage Avram, but he chose Avram and made him the centerpiece of the entire world. So what you have here is this study in contrasts. Kazdim, that so to speak, I wish they weren't there, so to speak, Mischayr HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Shebaram, and Avram Avinu, who is the pinnacle of purpose of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within the world. So that would be, that, you know, that stands as a significant contrast. He brings the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah divides the world into three periods. The first 2,000 years, the next 2,000 years, and the final 2,000 years. The first 2,000 years are what the Gemara calls Alpayim Toihu. They're 2,000 years of void, of emptiness. Right? Toihu is the word the Pasuk uses right at the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was Toihu. Right? It was just empty, shapeless, formless. And Chazal say that just wasn't for that first day before Hashem said, let there be light. But in a certain sense, even though the world was functioning and working and thriving and there were generations and buildings and who knows what, but the world was still Toihu. It was still shapeless and formless until Avram Avinu. When Avraham Avinu came on the scene, and when he turned 52, where he actually started spreading Torah, the Gemara learns that out, that was the year 2000. Y2K. Right? And then, from there, the world began. So, Avraham Avinu, again, a picture of Avraham Avinu as the tachlis, as the purpose of the world. But in the Gemara it says that when in Tehillim it refers to somebody called Eson HaEzrachi, Eson is Avram Avinu. What's Eson mean? Eson is from the term strong, right? In Hebrew we use the term as strong. It's connected to the term in Aramaic, which is Is. What's Is? Yesh. What's the term for creation? Is Yesh Me'ayin. Something when nothing was there before. Avraham Avinu brought, in the greatest sense, existence into reality. And Ur Kazdim, right? The Kazdim have no Ksav, have no Lashon. There's no reality to them. That's the contrast which we have drawn here between the two of them. Who are the Kazdim, by the way? The Babylonians, right? The Kazdim are the Babylonians. That's the association.
Avram Sharish.
Right, correct. Well, we're going to discuss here as we go along in the Maral exactly the relationship of Avram Avinu to the Kazdim as a Sharish, but certainly the description of being taken out from Ur Kazdim is what we have here.
In what way are they worse than other Goyim nations?
The discussion here doesn't really speak about this the details of why. What do we see in the Kazdim? that makes them so removed from it. The Maral doesn't discuss it at length here. He just proves it. Because the Gemara says that Hashem says, I wish they weren't there. Does it explain exactly what it is about the Babylonians that made them so horrendous, that made them in this sense so impossible? He doesn't discuss it at length. Again, there are other Gemaras that speak a little bit about the idea that you see them not happening, they have no ksav, they have no lashon, no script, no language, things that it says about them. Yeah. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברי. They have no language of their own, no original language of their own. Some kind of a hybrid language. Remember that they were the ones who it was there in the land of the Kazdim that they brought everybody together in the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel, where supposedly they were going to all. Right. Okay. Okay. So the contrast between a place which is a place in the terminology of the Maral, a place of heder, a place of lacking, a place of emptiness, that from there should come forth Avraham Avinu, who's the ultimate and absolute of existence. That's the contrast which we have here. Similar, in its own way, to the Jewish people, the pure ones, the holy ones, coming out from Mitzrayim, which is their polar opposite. That's the basic outline that the Maral tries to draw here. Now, in the flow of this discussion, so the Maral has a discussion regarding, well, what exactly was Avraham Avinu's relationship to Ur Kasdim? We know that Hashem took Avraham Avinu out of Ur Kasdim. We know that in the end of Parshas Noach it says that Terach and Avraham Avinu left Ur Kasdim to go towards Canaan, and they came to Choron and they paused there, or they stopped there, by Yeshvu Shom. But what exactly was Avraham Avinu's relationship to Ur Kasdim? So there are two schools of thought which exist. The Ramban, in the end of Parshas Noach, maintains strongly that Avraham Avinu was not born in Ur Kasdim. Avraham Avinu was actually born in Choron, the place which we're more familiar with in the Chumash, where there's more discussion about it in the Chumash. For example, who lived in Choron? Right, Nochar lived in Choron. When it came time for Eliezer to go find a girl for Yitzchak, he went to Aram Naharaim, the city of Nochar, which was in the area there of Choron. Or Choron was a city within Aram Naharaim. I don't remember, I get mixed up between the two of them. When you find, when he meets the people, Mechoron Anachnu, right? Nochar was in Choron. Nochar, right? And so the question is, which was the birthplace of Avraham Avinu? So again, the Ramban's opinion is that Avraham Avinu was born in Choron, and that when Avraham Avinu got in trouble, so then he was taken by his father to Ur Kasdim, which was the capital. And then, after Avraham Avinu escaped the fiery furnace, so he actually won over Terach a little bit, and then Terach, with Avraham Avinu, went back to Choron. They came to Choron and they settled there. It wasn't that, you know, they got tired and they just stopped traveling, right, when they were leaving their home on the way to Eretz Yisrael. No. They came to Choron, and it was natural for them to stop there because, in fact, that was their place of origin. That's the way the Ramban understands. Now, the other possibility is, and this seems to be in Rashi. Rashi indicates this at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where it says, Me'artzecha. Right, when Hashem says leave your land and your birthplace and your father's house, he says, what are you talking about? He already left his land. Why? Because it says they left Ur Kasdim to go to Choron. So that means he already left his land. Now, of course, so that means Rashi's assumption is that his original land was Ur Kasdim, and Choron was just a second stop. And so he understands over here, he's telling him, go even further away. So that's Rashi's opinion. And the Maral gets into the discussion. He addresses the Ramban's questions that the Ramban would see, you know, posits that it must have been that he was born in Choran, not in Ur Kasdim. And of course, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference because if Choran and Ur Kasdim are two different kingdoms, where's Choran? Choran is Syria, right? And Ur Kasdim is Babel, otherwise known in today's geography as Iraq. It's two different countries. It's two different people. So, who is Avram? Where is Avram Avinu from? Right, when the Gemara says, for example, and the Maral discusses this, when the Gemara says in Psachim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a kindness with the Jewish people when he sent us into Golos, that he sent us back to Leves Iman, which seemingly means to the mother's house. When he sent us to Golos Bavel, it was not unfamiliar territory. Right? So what does that mean? So on the one hand, the Maral says, you see that that's a proof that Avraham Avinu was born there in Ur Kasdim, not like the Ramban, who says that he just actually lived in Ur Kasdim for a period of time. Rashi, interestingly, here in Chumash says Avram in Psachim. Excuse me, says Avram me Ur Kasdim yotza. Avram came out of Ur Kasdim. So, what does that mean exactly? It means he was born there or he left there. Everybody agrees that he left there at a certain point in time. So the Marsha over here in the Gemara says as follows. He says, "I am Pirush Rashi." Uvesoy Parshas Neach Kosav Haramban. The Avram based Aviv Haya Moldosam B'Choran El Shalav Tarachim Menel Ur Kasdim V'Herich. He says, the Ramban says that Ur Kasdim wasn't where he was born. It was just where he spent a little bit of time. So, according to the Ramban, how does he understand this Gemara when it says, "Oh, he sent him back to familiar territory to Ur Kasdim, to his mother's house"? It wasn't his mother's house. This is also the Maral's Kasha on the Ramban. Umikom Mokaim, the Marsha defends it, and he says it's called here Ur Kasdim. Al Shem Shavram Nis Gadol Shom B'Malosai B'Amuna K'Shehelichu L'Kiv Shom Ha'esh V'Nitzol. Ur Kasdim was an extremely significant, so to speak, birthplace for Avram Avinu, because this is where his faith was really born, where he stood up to the test of the fiery furnace. And you can also say it's called, and then he says another pshat in this. Right, so he really, you know, he cites Rashi, but you know, you don't have to. According to Rashi, Rashi l'shitoso, Rashi holds that he actually was born there, even though it says yitziyasei misham. You know, I would just mention to you something which I think is a very chashuva, very significant and beautiful idea, which I saw once in the writings of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, who was one of the students of the Gaon of Vilna. I don't remember if I shared it with you. Recently, I shared it with some group recently, but I don't think it was with this shir. If I did, you'll forgive me. The Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says that, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Imahis Akoris. Right? The Gemara says Hashem made the. Did I share this with you recently? No? Huh? Okay. Hashem made the matriarchs all struggle with having children. Right, Sarah struggled having children, and Rivka struggled with having children, and Rachel struggled with having children. Leah didn't, you know, in order to turn things around, but naturally she also would have had to struggle to have children. Chazal tell us why. So the Gemara famously says, "Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh l'tfilasan shel tzadikim, Hashem yearns for the prayers of the righteous. So if it didn't come easy, they'd have to pray hard for it." So the Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says this is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you know, like, let's see, I'll get squeeze some more tefillahs out of them. But he says something beautiful. He says, to create one of the avos, to create a personality of such epic proportions, he can't just be born from two parents. You need that the third partner in the creation of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is much more active. And so Hashem said, it's not going to just come easily, man, woman, they get married, 9 months later they have a baby. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need that they won't be able to do it themselves. They'll recognize they won't be able to do it themselves. And they'll ask me to get involved. And when I get involved, then what comes out is going to have my fingerprints on it. It creates a much greater being when this happens. When it's a product of the tefillah, not just the sperm and the egg. So, says Rav Yitzchak Chaver, that's great, Gevaldik. But then I have one question. How about Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu, we don't have any record that his parents were barren, and even if they were, who were they davening to? You know, that doesn't help us a whole lot. You know, so what is it? So Rav Yitzchak Chaver says, excuse the expression, that Avraham Avinu was a born again. What does that mean? That Ur Kasdim, this experience at Ur Kasdim was his recreation. Avraham Avinu, when he went into the fiery furnace, his normal material life, his material existence, should have ended. It should have ended. But when Hashem took him out from there, so now the fact that Avraham Avinu was alive now had Hashem's fingerprints all over it. So it's true that Avraham Avinu, the discoverer of Hashem, Avraham Avinu, the initial believer, one who started to believe, and that's why he stood up to Nimrod at Ur Kasdim, was just the child of his parents. But then, when Avraham Avinu would come into his own, that was from Hashem's creation of him there at Ur Kasdim. That was really the beginning of Avraham. If you use that thought, then you can explain that even according to the Ramban, that Avraham Avinu wasn't born in Ur Kasdim physically, but Avraham Avinu was born in Ur Kasdim. Ani Hashem Asher Tzeichu Mir Kasdim. Just like to some degree the Jewish people were born out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's like to some degree when we have the idea that at Matan Torah, Hashem took the life from the Jewish people by speaking to them and then gave it back. Right? He had to be Mechaya Mesim. Wasn't just to be dramatic, and it wasn't even maybe not just even just because that's the nature of the thing. When you encounter Hashem, the soul leaves, but part of it is that now they have in a sense a new soul which is granted to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Sinai with the specific characteristics that are going to be there from Sinai. So that's a significant point here. So again, we have a discussion: is Avraham Avinu born in Ur Kasdim physically? Right, which is Maharal's position, right, and that of course fits with his thesis, which he's trying to develop over here, that this comes out. And others, like the Ramban, say no, he wasn't physically born in Ur Kasdim, but of course there is a birth of Avraham Avinu that does occur in Ur Kasdim, and therefore we can still speak of it in this way. So, okay, I'm going to pause to take the break, and questions or comments, please. We don't know exactly how old Avraham Avinu was. As far as I know, we don't know exactly how old Avraham Avinu was. He was 70 the first time that he went to Eretz Yisrael, according to some opinions, and according to other opinions, he was 75. He left from Ur Kasdim to Choron sometime before he ultimately went to Eretz Yisrael. Now it could be that he left at 70, according to the Seder Olam. So then maybe the whole thing happened around that time. It's not 100% clear.
It was after he was 52, because he was in trouble for smashing the idols.
Maybe it's before he was 52, huh? Maybe we'd have to say that it was before he was 52. Because we speak about the nefesh asher osa b'choron. Yeah, that's true. The nefesh asher osa b'choron is...
The medrash is chalik, whether he's three or whether he was...
when he discovered Hashem.
Yes, yeah, so he's not making gerim before...
No, Ekev asher shom Avraham b'choli. Avraham Avinu started discovering Hashem when he was three, according to some versions in the medrash, and so on and so forth. But the Gemara says... seemingly that he started being Makara people when he was 52, and presumably that's after the story of Ur Kasdim.
harm when he's 52. You have to either go to harm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it say that in the pasuk? In the end of Parshas Noach? Okay. So,
Was the bris another rebirth?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he gets a name.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So let's now talk about another rebirth. Here we've spoken about the rebirth because of the miraculous. No? Okay. There's another rebirth which is spoken about here. And this is one to which, as well, the Maharal gives a lot of attention. And he gives it attention here. And he gives it attention as well in the Gur Aryeh, perfect timing, at the end of Parshas Noach, where this diuk is found. I want to read to you the psukim at the end of Parshas Noach. At the end of Parshas Noach, let's find it. Vela told us Terach. Terach Elidus Avram is Nochar is Horan. These are the offspring of Terach. Terach gave birth to Avram, Nochar, and Horan. Horan gave birth to Lot. Horan died. Be'eretz Moladeto, where he was born, Be'ur Kasdim. Which, of course, is part of the debate. Does that mean they were all born in Ur Kasdim? According to the Ramban, Horan was the youngest. And after Terach relocated to Ur Kasdim, that's when Horan was born. So he was the only one who was born in Ur Kasdim, according to the Ramban. According to others, they were all born in Ur Kasdim. And Avram and Nochar married. The name of Avram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nochar's wife was Milcah. And Terach took Avram his son, and Lot his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and they left with them to Ur Kasdim, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran, and they stopped there. They settled there. And the days of Terach were 205 years, and Terach died in Haran. That's the end of Parshas Noach. And the beginning of Parshas Noach is, and Hashem said to Avram, go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. Says Rashi, Terach died in Haran. When did Terach die in Haran? La'achar sheyotza Avram mechoran uvo le'eretz Kenan yoyser mishishim shana. He says this was more than 60 years after Avram Avinu left. Why? Because how old, right? Avram was the oldest. How old was Terach when Avram Avinu was born? 70. How old was Terach when Avram Avinu... How old was Terach when he died? He was 205. Which means how old was Avram Avinu when his father Terach died? He was 135 years old. No spring chicken. Yeah? Right? He was 135 years old. How old was Avram Avinu when Hashem said to him, Lech Lecha? 75. That means that Terach actually was alive for 60 more years.
Hold it.
After Avram Avinu left. But yet the Pasuk reports that Terach died, and then Hashem said to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha. And then Rashi goes through the Cheshbon. V'lama hiktim akosu misasei shel Terach litziyasei shel Avram. So why does it put the death of Terach before Avram Avinu leaves? Shelei he'adover mefursam lakel. So it shouldn't be so public. The Yomer, and they'll say, Loi, Kiyem Avram es kibud aviv. Avram Avinu neglected his father's honor. Sheinicha izakin valachla. He left him as an old man, and he left. Lefikach kore akosif mes. That's why the pasuk calls him that he died. And then Rashi goes on and he says, and anyway, Chazal tell us that Rishoyim, even in their lifetime, are called dead. And Tzadikim, even when they're dead, in their death, are called alive. So therefore, it's not unjustified to refer to him as dead. That's what Rashi says. For some reason, in the Gvuras Hashem, the Maral picks more on the Ramban, and the Ramban over here in this segment does discuss what Rashi, this thing which Rashi quotes, and the Ramban also has his own problems with it, with this Rashi. And he quotes Rashi, and he says, I don't understand. It's normal for psukim to say, when it's telling the story of one person, to finish the story of that person, to say, and this person died, and then it begins the story of the other person, even if it's not sequential. You find that with Avram and Yitzchak, right? It describes the death of Avram Avinu earlier than and then it goes on to speak about things which happened with Yitzchak preceding that time. So it says Avram Avinu died at the end of Parshas Chayisara, and then when Yitzchak is married, he's married 40 years, and then 20 years they didn't have children. And Chazal tell us there was only, you know, when Yaakov made the Mezid Adashim that Avram Avinu died, but it records earlier that Avram Avinu died. So it's normal. Why would you take from this some kind of an inference? Wow, why does it say that Terach died earlier? That's the way the Pasuk tells the stories. And furthermore, right? So that's what he says. But then the Ramban says himself, and Maral expands on this. He says, look, you know, it's true that it does that sometimes. But when it does that, it does that when it's speaking in dramatic terms about the end of an era. And here it doesn't do that. Right? It says Eila Toldes, right? Parshas Toldes begins Eila Toldes Yitzchak. So we're starting to discuss a new era, a new generation. So of course we finish, tidy up the last generation first. But we don't do that here in our parsha. We just say they went and then Terach died and Hashem said Avram Lech Lecha. It never has that, you know, sort of like dramatic end of one generation, beginning of a new generation. So that's why the Gemara, that's why Chazal are disturbed. Well, then, if that's the case, why does it say it? Also points out, contrast to others, that in general here in Parshas Noach, when it spoke about people dying, it doesn't say how long they lived. It says he lived this many years, then he had a child, and then after he had a child, he lived this many years. Right? By Terach, it says he lived 205 years, and then he died. Right? So he says, like, why is it doing all of this? Why does it say where he died? So he says it's because it seems the Pasuk is trying to give the impression that Terach is out of the picture. If somebody won't look closely and won't take out their calculator and figure out, but one second, he must have been alive, so that's why, that's what it does. That's the Ramban. Now, Maral is still further troubled with this. And he asks questions here, both in the Gur Aryeh, in his commentary on Rashi, as well as here in this parak of the Gvuras Hashem. And he's especially troubled by the Torah, sort of like trying to make a cover-up. What kind of a business is that the Torah should try to make a cover-up? If Avraham Avinu wasn't mechabed his father and mother, so what is the idea that the Torah should try to make a cover up? So what the Maral says in both places, he writes a little bit differently, a little bit additionally in the Gur Aryeh, beyond what he writes over here in the Gvuras Hashem. Right, again, let me just read to you his language here in the Gur Aryeh. But it says that this thing shouldn't be public kasha. Was the Torah given to fools that wouldn't calculate the years? I mean, they didn't know that art school was even going to make a chart, right? So Maral says, you know, it doesn't say in the Medrash which Rashi's quoting that it shouldn't be public to everybody, but he says it doesn't use that language. And it says, look, Rishoyim Mechayim Kurim Esim, Rishoyim are called dead in their lifetime. And Avram was Mefachet, Avram was afraid. And he said, Eitzev Yu Mechalim B'Shem Shemaim, V'yemru Hiniach Aviv Le'esik Nasei V'yatza. Avram was worried that if I leave now, it'll be a Chil Hashem, because people will say I left my father when he was old and left. Omer Le'akadosh Baruch Hu, L'cha Ani Paitarcha, Mikibud Avaim, V'ein Ani Paiter Acher. I exempt you from Kibud Av V'Aim, but not others. And not only that, but I will record his death before you left. What does that mean? So again, so Rashi just retranslates that and says so that it shouldn't be a public thing, because after all, Avraham Avinu was worried about it. But the Maharal explains that there's something much bigger that's happening here. And the idea is that when Avraham Avinu left, when Hashem took Avraham Avinu, what's the expression which we use? We say Avraham Avinu is Nedive Am. Right, he is a person who joined HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the world. Avraham Avinu was the original convert who came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because he got it from his parents, but because of his own initiative. So in this sense, what the act of Lech Lecha is an act of Avraham Avinu regenerating himself, creating himself. When it says, let's close the chapter of Terach, and we begin Vayemar Hashem al Avram, and it's as if Avram Avinu moves on and doesn't have to deal with Terach, it's because indeed what Avram Avinu did in this action was not an inherited quality. It was completely new. It was Avram Avinu kekotan shenoyla dami. It's Avram Avinu like a newborn child. Remember the idea here and how therefore this really plugs in to what we have found in the whole story of Avraham Avinu, the way he's saying it, Avraham Avinu and Mitzrayim, which is Avraham Avinu comes from a place which is exactly his opposite. Avraham Avinu comes from a place that shouldn't exist, and he is the purpose of existence. The Jewish people come from a place of Mitzrayim, which is their polar opposite, and they come from there, emerge as a nation which is pure, pure of the purest. It can't be a product of Mitzrayim. And Avraham Avinu can't be a product of Terach. Yes, part of this is said in the classical terms of Gershon Iskayer Kakotan Shenoyla Dami, that a convert who joins the Jewish people is like a newborn child. Why? Because again, why they're here cannot be traced to their father, to their parents, in the classic sense, because they're being regenerated. In Avraham Avinu's case, that's true as well. That's true as well. He's new. So the idea of saying, okay, Terach is gone, Terach died, and then Avraham Avinu, it's not that, okay, you know, Avraham Avinu sort of compromised on the Kibbutz Avaim thing, and Hashem says, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of you, there will be a cover-up. The nature of what Avraham Avinu was doing was one that took him afield from where he had been, from where he had come until this point. Yes, there has to be a new creation called Avraham Avinu. And that's what's seen here in the idea that Avraham Avinu leaves his, so to speak, aging father to go on to something new. Now, it's a very interesting thing, because the truth is that even with regard to Terach, we don't absolutely accept that or believe that. Why? Because Avraham Avinu would say later in the Torah, he'll say, I'm going to go and I'm going to be buried with my fathers. I'm going to be gathered amongst my fathers. So the Gemara asks the question, and the Gemara says, I don't understand. Terach was an idol worshiper. You think he's in the same stadium as Avraham Avinu's in Shemayim? You think he's on the same club level? You know, I'm going to be with my fathers? What are you talking about? Right? Avraham, you know, did Terach even make it? Maybe Terach was in the hot place and Avraham Avinu was in the air conditioning. So the Gemara says Terach did shuvah. Now that, of course, would seem by itself not to create a karma. Okay, so Terach did tshuva, and he's there, so Avraham Avinu, who's a tzaddik, also is there. But Avraham Avinu refers to him as his father. Right, so there's another opinion which is found in the Medrash, which the Ramban quotes over here in the end of the Parsha, Parshas Mayach, which is an extremely important opinion. Extremely important. And he says, no, Terach didn't necessarily do tshuva. But Terach is still in heaven. Why? Because he was Avram's father. He did bring Avram into the world. Without him, there would be no Avram. So therefore, Terach has a lichtige Gan Eden. Terach has a beautiful place in heaven, and Avraham Avinu is going to go to join him. Despite the fact that Terach tried to throw Avraham Avinu into the fiery furnace, but he himself doesn't end up in that. Because the bottom line is, you know, was Avraham Avinu despite Terach? Or was Avraham Avinu because of Terach? It's tricky. In a sense, both are true. If Avraham Avinu hadn't taken initiative, which came of his own, completely removed from his father, then he wouldn't have been Avraham Avinu. But on the other hand, the raw materials, at the very least, were still there from before. You know, there are those who note that before, many years before Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son Yitzchak because Hashem told him to, Terach was ready to sacrifice his son for his beliefs. He threw Avraham Avinu, his own son, into the fiery furnace. Interesting, right? So, where did Avraham Avinu get it from? Did Avraham Avinu perhaps inherit that koyach? Right? Be'ever hanor yoshfu avoseinu me'elam Terach avi Avram v'avinochar v'yavdu Elohim acherim. Across the river, our forefathers lived, says Yehoshua. Terach, the father of Avram, the father of Nochar. One second, aren't we supposed to be like newborn children? Well, maybe there's some things that we get from Terach Avinu, right? From Terach, our father. We don't call him Terach, our father, generally speaking. This pasuk is exceptional. But says the Maharal, what the pasuk would be accenting here. Remember, so you have to understand, life isn't one-dimensional, right? When you look at these things, you have to see both sides. Avram goes back to his father, but Avram Avinu left his father. And had he not left his father, he wouldn't have been able to go back to his father. Or maybe they would have just gone together to the same place, but it would have been a very different one. Avram Avinu had to leave in order to be able to create this. And that's, again, the picture of Avram Avinu not coming from a similar situation, but Avraham Avinu coming out from something which was, there was the complete emptiness that was there before. So what's the idea behind that? Okay. Let's summarize where we're up to. We'll probably have to leave a little bit of this discussion for next time, but let's summarize where we're up to. Over the last couple of weeks, we've learned about how Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was, to a great degree, was born in Mitzrayim. And remember what we learned 2 weeks ago in Perek Gimel, as the Maharal identified, very beautiful diuk, that the pasuk speaks about the miracle of the fact that we left Egypt. Forget the 30 tricks, the 400 tricks, whatever it is, of the 10 miracles that happen here and the 10 miracles that happen there. Beyond the specifics of frogs here, frogs there, frogs jumping everywhere, was the miracle of the fact that we came out of Mitzrayim. That we came out of Mitzrayim. That's an incredible thing. And he explained it a little bit then in Perek Gimel, and explained it more in Perek Dalet, how antithetical Mitzrayim was to Israel. How they're literally two opposite standings, two opposite positions, but yet Hashem produced Israel out of Mitzrayim. And then what we saw today, what the Maharal continued today in Perek Hay, was that the truth is that a similar pattern exists with Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu's own coming into existence. Avraham Avinu also came from something which was the very opposite of him. Not the same as Mitzrayim, a different kind of opposite, right? From the nothingness, from the unimportance, the lack of staying power of Ur Kasdim, to Avraham Avinu being the most purposeful. Right? And now what we see is another step, is that Avraham Avinu again came from Terach, where we describe him as being almost like not coming from anything, right? He's able to sever this bond of Kibbutz Av, because, you know, Terach was so different than Avraham Avinu. The Chayav Kori Meis, where Avraham Avinu bimoso Kori Chayim, No, they were exact opposites. But yet from that comes Avram. Or not yet from that comes Avram, but because of that comes Avram. So what is this idea? That we produce the great from the lacking, from the terrible. And it's a consistent pattern. As the Maharal quotes, and everyone knows this general idea, right? The Medrash and Bamidbar Rabban, we'll close by quoting the Medrash. We'll have to talk about the idea, the concept behind this a little bit more next time. Medrash and Bamidbar Rabban says, "Mi yitain mit tahar mitamei loy echad." Right? The Pasuk says, "Who produces the pure from the impure? Only the one." So the Medrash says, "Kegain Avra miterach." Chizkiah from Achaz, Yeshiyahu from Amain, Yisrael from the Umais. Mi Asa Kain, Mi Gazar Kain, Lo Yechidei Shalaylam. Who made this? Who decreed that this could be only the one of the world, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's something unique about this happening. There's something unique about being able to do this. That it can only be accomplished by the Echad, by the one of the world. So what Im Yirtzeh Hashem will see when we have the chance Im Yirtzeh Hashem to go further and to discuss this is really two sides to how the Maharal describes this. On the one hand, he's going to speak about the idea that the bad and the good are two halves of one whole. Right? The polar opposites. Zeh le'uma zeh asa elekim. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything, he made it with two sides. The good and the bad. And the Echad, the one, is that he created them together. So in a certain sense, as much as Yisrael is so different than Mitzrayim, makes them necessarily also together with Mitzrayim. Right? Right? Two sides of the coin are completely different from each other. But they make a coin because the coin has two sides. And then, also the idea that you can only produce something new, fresh, when the slate is as clean as possible, when it comes from complete darkness, that's where the light comes from. You find, you know, this sort of study and contrast is necessary in order to clean it. To clear it, it's a concept which some of you may remember we discussed at length in the Netzach Yisrael. But in Yirtzeh Hashem, we will try to discuss this more and continue upon it.
Rabbi, this example I was given about this duality thing is that when I was converted, the first 5 years, I was in a real identity crisis. Because I was 55, right? I was a Gentile, I wasn't a Gentile, you know, well, I'm a Jew, whatever. And I found it got to a pitch that when I saw my rabbi converted me, I said, look, sometimes I don't know who I am. And I'm living a completely Jewish life, but I've got these feelings of the Gentile feelings. And he said, look at it this way. He said that you decided to build a gymnasium. You started to put foundations down, and then you decided to build a shul. It's on top of the foundations. You can't rip away the foundation, the shul will fall down, and you can't rip the whole thing down and begin again. So I think that. And the same can be applied to Baal Teshuva, is that, you know, you can't get rid of that. It's part of you. It's been put there for a reason, and you build on it, you turn the coin around, so there's no real conflict there. And I think that is Abraham. That's why he brought his father along, because he was a central part of his blood, you know, he was who he was.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very good, simple example.
Very nice.
Excuse me?
Very good.
Yeah.